May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 480. Up to the fields where angels lie, and living waters gently roll, fain would my thoughts leap out and fly, but sin hangs heavy on my soul. Hymn 480.
Thank you. let us read the Word of God. In the first epistle, Paul to the Corinthians, part of the first chapter, and also reading in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. You were led to read part of this chapter, friends, because we're awake this morning with the 30th verse upon our spirit. And so we read from, let us read from the 18th verse to the end. That is the first epistle, Paul to the Corinthians chapter 1, and reading from verse 18 to the end. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Also, friends, let us read in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Wherefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer now. Spirit of prayer, let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we come before thee once more, thou knowest how thou hast so brought us together. Thy goodness, thy loving kindness, we do desire to acknowledge in this. Even that thou hast given us, we trust, a desire to gather. And Lord, a desire to worship thee, our God. Oh, may we feel the favour of life and liveliness. Oh, may we be in exercise for thy glory. Oh, as our dear friend has prayed and especially acknowledged this, that it should be our desire and prayer to be gathered unto thee. We think of the words in the way it's put, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And oh, may it truly be so this evening, in this evening hour here in Swavesey Chapel. Lord, we know If able, there will be those listening in, for thou knowest, Lord, our love and friendship with many up and down and across the land. And Lord, here we have the favour of communication. And Lord, we trust in that exercise thou giveth us to do good and to communicate, forget not. Oh Lord, we do want to continue in love and exercise for all our friends. And Lord, thou knowest how there are those in much tribulation, trouble and sorrow and affliction, Lord. Oh, we pray for each one thou knowest every morning of every day. We pray now, we continue in prayer. Bless the afflicted, help them, Lord. Thou knowest their state, Lord, and how it is, and in thy will for them. Especially we remember a dear friend and sister, and our dear friend and brother, Lord, our dear friend and brother, dear deacon, dear Benji, and his dear one. And the family here, Lord, those present here, and those not able to be present, Lord, as thou knowest the cloud over the family. But, oh Lord, thou hast given us to feel it much as we've been much in prayer. Oh, the confidence that it is well and will be well. And Lord, may this so be given as blessed comfort more and more to the family. Lord, may they know that we did try to consider as regarding the valley of the shadow of death when we was with the friends here last time. And Lord, oh, as they walk this valley, oh, may they have that wonderful favour to believe and to trust thee. That, Lord, they may each be able to personally say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we believe thou art, Lord. We believe thou art with our dear friend and sister. We believe thou art with our dear brother and other dear brothers, Lord, of the family, Lord, and all, Lord. We would not multiply words now, but thou knowest our heart and exercise for our friends, Lord, and others who have affliction, Lord, others, as we think of one we've been talking to even since we pulled up outside the car park, Lord, our dear friend Bob Collar in Essex, who knoweth his trouble and weakness, Lord, the bond we have and the love we have. We pray for him, Lord. As thou knowest, he needs some extra medication, we think, according to what his dear wife has told us. Oh, may provision be given for him, provided for him, Lord. Help him, bless him, strengthen him, build him up. Thou knowest his operation he's had recently. Lord, oh, others, there are many others. So mine goes up and down across the land. Oh, those far and near, we think of our friends in the north of England. We think of our friends, Lord, in the south and in Essex and Kent, and Lord, and all the parts and Norfolk. Lord, as we go about, oh, all the counties we enter in and travel through, Lord, thou knowest, and the dear peoples at the causes of truth where we go. They're in our heart to remember, Lord, and pray, thou knowest, for them. Oh, Lord, help and bless them. Each one have their particular path to tread. And, Lord, each hill of Zion is in need of thee, thy appearing, thy coming to them, Lord. And they might know, Lord, as we've sung regarding those fields, Lord, even the fields above, Lord, thou knowest how we seek that thou would work, Lord, as thou hast done and art still working in the churches. We pray, Lord, for more evidences of thy work appearing. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, Lord. Especially bless and help thy servants, Lord, and say labour on the walls of Zion. And Lord, as we know one due to come on Lord's Day here, Oh, may we be helped tonight that we might not leave any stumbling block, Lord, or anything, but oh, may we come and feel the blessedness of the good Saviour in this cause of truth. Lord, thou knowest, we think of those that have gone and are home in glory, and some of them, especially as we have thought of one and another causes, how the dear servants of God have left a sweet savour there, especially as we've thought of it in near neighbouring causes, Lord, especially south or the place of our spiritual birth. Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, we pray that we may be blessed and exercised to live to thy praise and to daily seek to know the favour of living unto thee. And Lord, we might show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. Lord, thou knowest everyone, each and all of thy people have to do with the things of this life. But, oh Lord, may we hold them, as it were, with a loose hand. May the first concerns of our lives day by day be to be living unto thee. And, Lord, to know thy love and mercy and thy wonderful grace and favour, thy goodness to us. So bless the friends here, each of them, who knoweth all concerning them. And Lord, their personal exercises, and how they feel in the state of their soul, who knoweth the dark days, the days of coldness and winter time, the many changes, the trials, the tribulation, Lord, the onslaught of Satan, who knoweth how he is such a mighty, crafty foe, and oh, thy people so much need thee to come and give them the grace enabling to fight the enemy, Lord, who we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, and Lord, spiritual wickedness in high places, and oh, the sad high place of our wicked hearts, and those high places of idolatry, worshipping of idols that we've so much fallen in and are troubled over, lest we should fall in again. And Lord, oh, thy withdrawing because of our grieving thee, Lord, thou knowest all these things are known and solemnly felt by thy people. But, oh, Lord, may it be sweetly in our prayers, Lord, as the hymn writer put it, return, sweet messenger of grace. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Do return, Lord, to those who have felt desertion because of their own folly, those who feel to be in coldness or even the solemn, treacherous lukewarmness that knoweth their cases. Lord, we have no finger to point at any, but in love and desire and prayer for our friends, we pray thou wilt, according to the need they are in, as thou knowest it, even if they do not feel it, but thou knowest what need they're in. Lord, do thou so appear. Bless souls, do good unto thy people, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, as we read that word, the love of Christ constraineth us. May many be able to say this and testify it, and feeling under the power of thy drawing and constraining, and Lord, given to be an exercise to show forth thy praise. And knoweth we began reading in the chapter, Lord, following where the apostle had been speaking about baptizing, and how he had not been called to baptize but to preach the gospel. But he did baptize, and Lord, one and another, Lord, and thou knowest it is thy command that thy people should follow thee and put thee on with an open profession. Lord, oh, may there be those stirred up to realise this more and more and feel it. Lord, that there may be exercise in thy people, especially in the way that they receive it, Lord, sometimes to lead one to consider, and we should make it known to the friends. Lord, the question of how we're journeying on, fast journeying across the sea of time. And Lord, what Lord thou commandest us to attend to, and yet Lord, we're letting the time pass so fast by. Oh Lord, thou knowest one and another of us have followed thee, but other things we're called to attend to perhaps. But those that have not yet been so constrained to follow thee in thy ways and put thee on in their open profession, Lord, let them cause them to think how the years, the days and the years are passing by, and they are fast hastening on toward eternity. Lord, oh, is it that thou hast that sadness and grief over there, vile requitals of thy love? Lord, thou knowest. Oh, I beg thee in love and desire and faithfulness to thee, Lord, and to the friends we must speak to. Oh, thou didst say, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, what a if it is, Lord. Oh, thou knowest, may that if be as a cutting if, an if to make sinners think, and where they was blessed, where they was favoured. Oh, may it truly be that love shall be made more and more strong in them by the power of the Spirit. Oh, and they may know that constraining. Lord, the blessed privileges of thy house may be entered into, the favour to sit at table with the Lord. Thou knowest our ways, Lord, which we believe are close to thy word according to what is set forth in thy word, for thy way and thy own example, Lord. Oh, suffer it to be so near, for thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. Lord, do hear us for this important matter and exercise for thy dear people, and bless thy people. Favour them, Lord. Oh, hear us, Lord, for many other things, who knoweth all our concerns, our burdens. And Lord, our country, the sad state we're in, Lord, with so few acknowledging that these are judgments, thy judgments upon us. But oh, do hear the confessions of thy people. And oh, in wrath remember mercy, Lord, and could it please thee to grant this release in the lockdown shall continue. Oh, we do fear lest we come under another lockdown. Lord, we might be restricted in our worship again. May it be preserved to us that we can gather like we do tonight. Lord, I know as one has had contact with their friends in Australia in this week, and Lord, part of Australia is still under the lockdown, whereas around Melbourne, they were released only one day this week. Lord, we pray thus do favour us, Lord. May we use the privileges we have, Lord, to thy honour and glory. May there be blessing, showers of blessing upon the churches. Lord, thou knowest as thy servants preach, may the wonderful favours of thy love and mercy be known and felt. As we've read, Lord, concerning the foolishness of preaching and thy purpose to use the ministry. Lord, thou knowest our exercise that thou wouldst send forth more labourers into the harvest. Oh Lord, we wait, we watch for this, believing there are those yet shall be sent forth into the work of the ministry. You know, as those of us in old age are fast going along toward the end of our journeys, Oh, may there be those raised up of younger men. We thank thee that there has been, and we pray for more. So, Lord, hear our prayers for all these things, that the walls of Zion may be supplied still, and thy favour and blessing may be known more and more. Help us now, Lord. Help us in further singing thy praises. We would not leave thy throne, but before especially praying for the young people, the dear young people and children, Lord, in growing up in this terrible world, do keep them from the evil. Bless them if it could please thee with thy grace in their young and tender days. Do now with her, this will save them from so much. Lord, but oh, thy greatest and most important purpose to save from sin and death and hell. Oh Lord, as we have read regarding the judgment day, oh, prepare my soul for that great day, Lord. May this be the prayer of every one of us here, and for the dear young people to pray it, Lord, so exercise them for it. Prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. Now knoweth we cannot multiply words now. Hear us, Lord, we beg, in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is 617. The new man and the old by no means can agree. The one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. The principles of grace and sin a constant warfare must maintain. Hymn number 617.
Thank you.
I trust I can say I believe that, what we've just sung, friends. I believe it. I live by it. I trust I can say, and I hope there are many of you, even all of you, that do. I would direct you this evening, friends, to the words that I woke with this morning, which are the 30th verse in the first chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. After, of course, the apostle had made mention in this way, in the context of things that were troubling him and which will trouble the church always, because we've all got, as we've just been singing, the old man. And now that old man struggles hard to gain the victory over grace and the effect of it in individual souls and as in the church, and the church is of the church of God. And so there are these things which are in the context in this chapter. But coming to this particular important statement, which is regarding every true born child of God, this is the statement of them as they stand in Christ. But and of course the exhortation following the things that we've just made mention of is that no flesh should glory in his presence. And of course that's of course God's requirement. Remember the first commandment: thou shalt have no other God beside me. God states in the first commandment, God must have the preeminence of glory in every way. He's God over all. He's the owner of the universe, and we are his subjects. All humanity are his subjects. Some are vessels to be made by grace, vessels unto honour. Many are to be left sadly, solemnly, in sin to die. God is just and righteous still. Whatever is said regarding him, he is the righteous God, the holy, holy, holy God, the owner of the universe, the creator of all things. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And friends, what will be brought to be the most important concern for those God loves will be, am I one of God's children? Am I one of his people? And I come to this in a way also thinking, you know, when we write letters to our friends, when we make communication by whatever means, we may sign off, as it were, saying, expressing love in Christ, or some kind of way of expression like that. Christian love or Christian regards, but particularly love in Christ. You know how we've read in the other chapter, the one in the second epistle, there it is, statement, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and so on. God in Christ. Here it is. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful, such a vitally important, wonderful statement. Does it apply to you, friends, and me? The apostle felt that writing to these Corinthians, he felt the confidence of faith regarding them, and he's saying this, stating this, but of him. Are ye in Christ Jesus? It's a statement of fact. According to the will of God, the covenant of God's grace, the covenant love, but of him. Are ye in Christ? It's not a question, it's a statement. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of him, God the Father. For God the Father has given all the names to his beloved Son of his people, those that are of the sovereign choice of Jehovah, God the Father. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, do you feel this statement is true concerning you personally? And do I? Because this is vital, friends, a vital statement. We're either in this secret or not. Oh, is it true? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Oh, is this the very reality of truth for you personally, me? If we're outside of it, friends, and remain outside of it for all our days, we're going to be lost, cast in hell. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And notice, of him, because God does all the work of grace. God effects the beginning of the work of grace. He does everything in teaching his people graciously, savingly, that they may be manifestors in Christ Jesus. They may be blessed to know they are in Christ Jesus. And what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? In and favoured to have all the blessings and favours of God's grace, his free unmerited favours for his people. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Does this apply to you and me personally, friends? Oh, whether we be young or older or very old, does it apply to us? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And oh, if it is, all what follows will be as for our good too. But of him. But think of the but especially. And I think, and I know, our friend prayed in his prayer before the service with me, that no flesh should glory in essence, this is what he prayed, that no flesh should glory in God's presence. Because, oh, we do, if we are blessed with grace, we do have an exercise and desire for God's honour and glory. And we will be saying, like the psalmist gives the statement of it, he says, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, to God's name, to God Jehovah, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, oh, that theme, and you know, to God, to grace, to matchless grace, and to the dove that seals us heirs of heaven, we want to give all the glory to the Holy Trinity of persons, one God, blessed forevermore. Oh, but of him. And you see, God, his great favour, his wonderful favour, his love, his loving kindness, his saving grace is all ordered and appointed for his people, as he set his love upon them before the foundation of the world. The friends come into the point, the vital point. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. I say it's a statement. But you and I perhaps really need to make it and have it in us as a question. Is this statement true concerning me? Are you concerned? Are you a concerned soul? Are you a guilty sinner? Are you a needy sinner? Are you a character whom God has divinely enlightened so that you know your solemn need, your solemn state, You know your need of salvation by grace. Is this so? When I was brought to know your need of salvation, oh, of him, are you in Christ Jesus? Is it so that you're brought to believe in Jesus? Jesus is made precious, the Son of God, made precious to you. But of him, are you in Christ Jesus? And oh, if it's true, if it's true relating to you and me personally, oh, Christ is so, is being made more and more precious. He is so precious. He's the one thing needful. And the apostle in preaching as he did, in, especially as it's recorded in these epistles, you know, he's been preaching sin and salvation. We preach Christ crucified. I think of it, I tried to preach to friends at Oakington on Wednesday, you know, the preaching. We have this ministry, and as we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the Spirit. And oh, friends, this important word stands out to me as such a statement, a wonderful statement for God's people. It is descriptive in the vital way that is needed to be for each individual one of God's people. Because if we're out of Christ, think of the theme, out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Does the Holy Spirit apply this to you? Oh, my prayer is that he would, and seal us with it, that we may know and be assured that we are in Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, we are safe. If we're out of Christ, we're in eternal danger, danger of eternal damnation. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And if it is so, friends, and oh, may it be your concern and my concern that this may be truly so, sealed to us that it is so, that we are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Oh, he is, friends. The Son of God is. If we are God's people, the Son of God is made unto us wisdom. He is, friends. And what is this especially? Oh, made wise unto salvation, that none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. This is how he's made unto us wisdom. You seek no other blood nor name to cleanse your guilt and hide your shame. Oh, it's Christ's sacrifice, his holy blood shed for sinners, who is made unto us wisdom, that we know that there's no other one, no other name, none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It being in Christ Jesus, we know this. It's revealed to us. The Lord has so favoured us. He's convicted us, convinced us of our sin, condemned us under his law, brought us in guilty. We've died to all hope in ourselves. And like we've been singing and acknowledging the old man and the new, and the warfare. And oh, friends, oh, you cannot gain victory in that warfare. Oh, you must be looking to your Lord, who has gained the victory over sin and death and hell, who has conquered death and hell, who's brought in full, complete salvation, redemption for the church, who of God is made unto us. How is the Son of God made unto us wisdom? The Holy Spirit working in us, exercising, showing us, and what is very important, very much a blessing, and yet it's hard for the flesh, but you say the Lord will show his people they've got no wisdom. They've got nothing of their own. Nothing, can you say, although I have nothing of my own, my treasure is immense in Christ. Oh, because in a great way and measure, he's made unto us wisdom. The wisdom. Oh, think of it in the theme of what the hymn writes, is not the wisdom of the wise, not the grandeur of the great, but oh, it's Christ and him crucified. It's give me Christ or else I die. The will of God is made unto us. New friends here, we're together here in the house of God. Oh, we can talk to each other perhaps after the service or as I preach to you. Us here, friends. Us here. And each one of us personally. Oh, is it true? Who of God is made unto us wisdom? And who of God? God the Holy Spirit. Who of God? God the Father's purpose. Who of God is made unto us wisdom? The Holy Spirit working in sinners, teaching them, dealing with them, breaking their schemes of earthly joy, breaking their hearts under conviction of sin, and more breaking their hearts when they have some blessed taste of God's redeeming love. A sense of blood-bought pardon will soon dissolve the heart of stone. Who of God is made unto us wisdom? Wisdom to know the truth, to believe that God is, as we've read, reconciling sinners. He is doing his work, but to know it personally. To know the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, I often quote it. It is a very important statement. It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, if it is truly in you, in the reality of it, as stated here, who of God is made unto us wisdom, it's God's been working in you. And he continues to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because the good pleasure of God Jehovah is his people shall know this heavenly wisdom, this holy wisdom. And the Son of God will be made unto them wisdom. And, oh, that wisdom which is from above. Think of how there is the exhortation in the book of Proverbs, get wisdom. And we can't get it ourselves. With all thy getting, get understanding. It will be by the Spirit we get it. We're after it, we're seeking it. And in the fear of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And friends, oh God, the Son of God himself is made unto us wisdom. And you see and believe in Jesus Christ. You see in him, reading, considering his perfect life. He went about doing good. Everything he did was holy and spotless and pure, what he attended to. How he kept the whole law of God. He made unto us wisdom. We can't keep the law. We are guilty in every part. We've broken God's Ten Commands. But he's made unto us wisdom. He, the Son of God, has kept the law of God. Is this where your hope lies, friends? In that you know you're guilty. You know you're guilty, hell-deserving sinner. But Christ has holiness enough to sanctify us all. He does, friends. And if we're his people, it will be surely God's purpose to grant that favour of adorning us with that holiness of Christ, the royal robe of righteousness, forgiveness of sin, pardon and peace through the blood of the Lamb. He's made unto us everything. He's made unto us wisdom, the wisdom to know that nothing of what we can do can make atonement for our sins. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot claim that we are holy and not sinful. We are sinful. It's only and totally the holy sacrifice of Christ that makes sinners to become clean and pure and holy. It's a wonderful statement the Lord made statement of in John's Gospel. He says, "And ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." You know, God's people, some particularly are favoured to hear the Lord's voice. And he speaks to them, he's spoken to them. He may speak more than once. And there, you see, as we read that statement in John's Gospel, I can't think which chapter it is now. It's one of the chapters, certainly a chapter after the 14th, 15th. I think it could be after the great high priestly prayer. But it is there in John's Gospel, I know, where the Lord says, "And ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." If the Lord is made, as he will be made to his people, wisdom, it may be in this way, wonderfully for you and for me. It may be in God's purpose to so bless in this way. You've had a token of his love, or you've heard his voice. He has spoken in his word or in the ministry, but you haven't really fully understood it. You haven't fully been brought to understand what he's done for you. But he has spoken. You know what the Lord says there in those words. "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You know, this is the way, this wonderful wisdom, that he has made unto us wisdom. And as the Lord opens up things more, as he leads his people on, as he goes on to teach them, you know, he's made unto them wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom to understand and believe the favours, even the blessings we have received, and yet we've not fully understood them. We've not fully had the favour of the blessing of the favour that you've known. But, oh, then he says, "Ye are clean through the word." And isn't that what you want to be, want to know, that you're clean? We're so vile. Oh, we're vile. We're wicked in heart. We've got that old nature. They're vile and poor in their own eyes. But Jesus' love they highly prize. They never think they're laid too low if Jesus on them pity show. He made unto us wisdom, oh, so that we understand that if he's spoken to us, he's put away our sin. He's blotted out our transgression. He's forgiven us. All God's people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made twixt man and God. He's made unto us wisdom so that we understand. You know, we've quoted it a few times as we've been in lockdown and all this very solemn time that we're in, and a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And we've made mention of how Daniel the prophet, he speaks of the wise and the wicked. The wicked shall not understand. You can't understand from your old wicked natural heart. And the wicked who are never to be called by grace can never understand. We can't, in that way of our old nature, our natural heart. But God makes, as he's given his people a new heart, a new nature, his dear beloved Son has made unto them wisdom. And so with this wisdom they can more and more begin to and continue to understand. And they're not among those stated, "The wicked shall not understand." What a favour. What a favour to be brought to be in and as purpose of God and prospect of God is in his holy will for his people, that his people should be with those virgins in heaven. Oh, to be prepared for this. Oh, in time here below, to be in the favour of virgin souls made unto salvation wise. All of us, none of us are virgins by nature. We're all sinners. But by grace we're made so, sanctified by the Spirit, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in his righteousness. We're made spotless in that way by his saving grace. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Who is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom. Friends, the favour of this, profound, wondrous favour of this, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Oh, we've come short, not brought anything enough out of what we've already considered is made unto us wisdom. But oh, in that we have, we hope and do know. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the wisdom. Oh, not the wisdom of the wise, but not the grandeur of the great, but the wisdom, the heavenly wisdom that God gives his people, and the Son of God is made unto them wisdom. It's all in him, all from him, all by and through his sacrifice, his life, his death, his glorious resurrection. Oh, we're washed, we're cleansed, that's how we're clean. Washed in the blood of Christ and clothed in his righteousness. And it's this righteousness, oh, righteousness imputed. In the Psalms we read quite a lot of places regarding righteousness. I will speak of thy righteousness, his righteousness of thy righteousness only. And how important it is. Righteousness in us is all unrighteousness, ours is. Our righteousnesses are all as filthy rags. But the Son of God is made unto his people righteousness, wisdom, righteousness. Oh, they need his righteousness. They're shown they've got none of their own. They're shown that they've got all those fig leaf garments, filthy garments, anything which is only of man's making. It's futile, it's vile. Oh, must be cast away. We'll be stripped away by God in his dealings with his people. But oh, God strips his people, shows them that all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and he shows them that they're as regarding self-righteousness, there are very many strains of it. Self-love, self-importance, self-esteem. It's all got to go, friends. The Lord must strip it away. And it's these characters who are so blessed to be under God's solemn dealings and his stripping work, his dealing with them in the way needed, that he, in his perfect wisdom, knows they need to be so dealt with. But they're brought to have nothing of their own. And how it is, like in the word, I think it's in the second epistle, having nothing and yet possessing all things. Friends, is he stripping you of your self-righteousness? Is the Lord so dealing with you and breaking thy schemes of earthly joy that you're so fond of? Or is he so working in this way, solemnly and yet blessedly? Because he loves you, he's working to strip you of all your fancied meekness. Oh, and then to give you to know that his righteousness that he wrought out was wrought out for you. And you to be clothed with that holy royal robe. Oh, what a favour it is. Great favour. Oh, I would say equal. We must be careful how we speak of the great blessings and favours God bestows upon his people. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness. We've got none, but he is a righteous, holy Saviour. He's kept the whole law of God and made it honourable on his people's behalf. In that way, he's brought in everlasting righteousness for the church. He is made unto us righteousness. And the more that we know and feel that we've got no righteousness, the more and more we feel of our wickedness, our wretchedness, our unholy state, the more we need the blood of Jesus, and the more we need to be clothed with this wonderful righteousness, and that the Son of God is made unto us righteousness, because it's him alone who has wrought the righteousness for the church of God. That blessed theme in the psalm, as regarding the king's daughter. Oh, may it be blessedly felt here tonight, that one and another of you, that there may be many, that you may be blessed to know you're one of the king's daughters. He says in the psalm, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Think of that. When we look within and are taught of the Spirit, we know we've got wicked hearts, vile, deceitful hearts. But by grace, she's made all glorious within. Oh, the Lord has washed that soul and clothed that precious soul in his righteousness. She shall be brought before the king in raiment of needlework. Think of how the Lord suffered in all his life. Wove the robe of righteousness, really, by what he suffered. How he suffered, how he wove the robe. Because all what he suffered, in that he suffered so much, he never, never sinned. Oh, he suffered the just for the unjust. He bore the curse. Truly, it was needlework. Think of it. I've not done hardly any needlework, one or two times sewn buttons on and pricked my fingers. Think of it, friends. Oh, the needlework the Son of God had to endure. What he had to suffer to bring in that everlasting righteousness. Oh, what he had to bear in the gloomy garden of Gethsemane. What he had to suffer in the judgment hall of ridicule and the roughness of the words of the governor. And he even said he got power to crucify and power to release him, which he hadn't got really. But oh, friends, then in that way they scourged him with that Roman scourge on the place of the pavement, led him out to Calvary, to Golgotha, crucified him, oh, nailed him to the cross. Think of what he suffered, friends, but think of what he suffered in his holy soul. And this is the way he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness, as we are led to consider him. As we are led to, oh, if I may say, carefully meditate upon him. You know how the psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. But, oh, friends, he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Oh, how he will be made this. I believe especially as God, in his profound, wonderful way, sanctifies his people. You know, we have to be brought to feel deeply, solemnly, grief over our sin, and God will make us to be sanctified by his dealings with us, his chastening, his correcting, or in ways where we may have to suffer loss, and he gives grace to bow to the will of God. He sanctifies his people, and actually the process God so perfectly effects upon and in his people is to separate them out. Sanctification. Being separated out. Separated by God to God's honour and glory. Oh, he will separate to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Is he doing it for you and in you and me, friends? Sanctification. Oh, he must do it. If we have evidence of this, is a wonderful proof of sonship and that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. He doesn't leave his people to themselves. He deals with them. He chastens, he corrects. He does what is needed in love and mercy. And you see, it's the Son of God. He is made unto us. Sanctification. How is this? When we're under the sanctifying influence and effectual dealings of the Lord and the Holy Spirit working, dealing with us, God dealing with us as with sons and daughters, he's made unto us sanctification as what we have to suffer, what we have to. And God gives grace for his people to endure it, but it causes us to consider Christ, to consider him. This is how he is made unto our sanctification, because what you, in the will of God, are having to go through, what you are having to endure, what you are having to suffer, what you are having to know under God's teaching, as he separates you out to his praise, to his honour and glory, as you have to be stripped of your fancied meekness and all the things of pleasure and time, time and senses, that you're sanctified, as you know, the swift passing of time and the warnings in it, and way like as with the five wise and five foolish virgins to consider such a part of the word of that as that. Five were wise and five were foolish. Are we made wise by grace? Have we got oil in our vessels with our lamps? God sanctifies his people to be concerned and to consider this and to be separated out in a way to wholly, totally rely upon God's grace, leaning on all-sufficient grace. God's people go on under sanctification as God is separating them out to his praise, his honour and glory. But, oh, friends, it's considering Christ, considering him. The Holy Spirit will ever testify of Christ. He'll take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. And you see, as we are blessed under sanctification, and he, the Son of God, is made unto us sanctification. I mean, especially like considering it like this, his path was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? I believe this will be felt under sanctification, and here the Lord is made unto us sanctification, because seeing and believing in him, and all what he's gone through, all what he bore and suffered, as he suffered, bled and died, and suffered in our room, place instead, and like his, at the end, as we read that other chapter, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, sanctification and redemption. Oh, friends, this really... Dear Gatsby says, in his highest work, redemption, see his glory in a blaze, claiming their supreme attention to his wondrous works and ways. Friends, does he claim your supreme attention? Does the Son of God appear to you? Is he to you more precious far than life and all its comforts are? Oh, I believe if he's made unto you redemption, you think of that tremendous, we cannot put value on it, we cannot number the great value of it. Oh, his sacrifice, his holy blood shed, that holy blood, the blood of God that made atonement for the sins of the whole church of God, he's made unto us redemption. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption, he is made. And I believe it's this, friends, because remember that we're following this, these words follow, that no flesh should glory in his presence, and that according as it is written, the last verse, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, he's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that the following verse must be considered in it, that we must glorify our God, live to his praise, because you know we've got to, it's God's holy will, his perfect purpose, his perfect right to have us for his praise and have us home in glory. We've got to learn the song of the redeemed here on earth, that we may sing it more sweet, more loud in glory when we see him as he is. When I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Oh, friends, he's made unto us redemption. And that means all that debt of your sin was laid on him. Think of the words in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you believe it is so with you? Is this the great favour God's blessed you with? Is he made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption? Oh, friends, how important this is. How vitally important it is. Is it so? Oh, my heart's desire and prayer is that the Holy Spirit would seal it to you. Seal it to many souls. Oh, I could desire it for every one of you. Are you in the secret of it? Has God given you any evidence of this? Has it been in you to be exercised to know and feel the assurance of faith? Do you pray, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood? Bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Oh, these words are such a statement. What God does, where he blesses souls. And the little word us, friends. Us. That of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And have we been learning the lesson, like I made mention of our friend's prayer, desiring, really exercised, desiring the honour and glory of our God, our triune God? And is it even through and from effectual calling and God's effectual working in us, God beginning his work and carrying it on, being confident of this very thing? He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And in all this of what is experienced and known is what is stated here, as the apostle has such confidence, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, our sins are put away, blotted out. Oh, can you say, You believe they are. Have you got the evidence of it, the favour of such blessing? Oh, that your sins were laid on Christ and that he suffered in your place. How deeply humbling. We're lost in wonder, love and praise, friends, if we know it, if we experience it. Oh, can we grasp it by faith tonight? Oh, grasp Christ in our arms, the antidote of death. Oh, the arms of faith. And oh, to know that we're in those arms of love and mercy of our God, our triune God, saved by grace. Oh, he's made unto us. Oh, as I said, the little word us and the little word is, they are vital words. Oh, is it so? Can you say it is so? Can you say, regarding your Lord, it is your Lord, and you in these days now going on, let him do what seemeth him good, to save me and keep me and preserve me, and present us faultless before the throne of glory with exceeding joy. Oh, giving us such blessing to know and be assured that we're in the secret, that, oh, as we live, if it's a few days or months or years yet, in this dark desert to comply, but, oh, it will be well, because the Lord states this concerning his people, and as God gives that favour to believe to his people, oh, well, can we agree and receive as God grants it, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth. No, God's people are in the favour of glorying in Christ, not in themselves. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in his highest work, redemption. Oh, friends, the blessed theme, dear Gadsby's hymn we sung earlier, the hymn we sung of Gadsby's. My heart felt such warmth as we sung it, in the favour of it. Exalting, extolling Christ, exalting, praising God, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May this be our employ the rest of our days. May the Lord help us. Help us to deny self day by day and take up the cross and follow our Lord. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. And next week, the service will be on Tuesday evening instead of Wednesday. And Mr. Mark Seymour will preach, God willing, as Mr. Jabez Rutt is unable to come, as you will all realise. Our closing hymn is 347. Lord, how many are my foes, many they that me oppose. Thou my strong protector be, all my safety is in thee. Hymn 347.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything that was seen amiss in our service. Own and bless thy word, dear Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.